Well, let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started here. Lord, thank you for these ladies that have made this time a priority. I pray that you'll work in our hearts and Lord, bless as we think about a life that can have the joy of the Lord all the time, that can be used of you. And thank you for this series from this book. I pray you'll bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. We talk about living like Jesus. And there are some books that are out there that talk to you about how to be like Jesus. Well, that's not all bad because there is a standard of his life that we need to understand. But I've got some bad news for you. You ain't got it in you naturally to be like Jesus. Okay, excuse the English, but that's the way it is. But did you know that we can be like him? Because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us that will enable us to live his life. It's not us being like him, it's him being revealed in us. And there's a massive difference. And that's a great exciting truth when we get a hold of that. And so in all of the different aspects of life, we are making decisions. We've been talking about that, getting up early in the morning, having our time with the Lord, depending upon him, there's having the right attitude. But the supernatural aspect of this is vital. And so turn with me to a very familiar passage, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And that's what this chapter is going to be using as the whole basis for it. And I'm glad that this is being introduced at this point. Now, we've often talked about that little word walk. We walk in the Spirit, walk in the light, walk in love, walk. I mean, it's a term that the New Testament uses to speak of the Christian life. And here's one thing I want to mention. Our lives are a series of decisions, a series of steps. And two things you need to know about walking. Walking number one is a faith decision. In other words, you're doing this because that's what the Bible says. But it is also a walk of dependence. In other words, I take steps, I'm obeying the Lord, I'm doing what he wants, and I'm depending upon him for the power to be able to do it. You know, we oftentimes don't get tripped up on the big decisions, we get tripped up on all the little ones. You know, walking's no big deal. We don't think about it, we just do it. It sure was when you were a toddler. You know, it's something to see those kids as they're trying to take that next step and then they fall down and all of that. And we've learned to walk in our Christian life, but it is the little steps that trip us. And when we don't take faith steps and we're not doing it in the power of the Spirit, we can do two things. In other words, we can become passive in our Christian life and go backwards, or we can go the wrong direction. So anyway, keeping that in mind, I just wanted to look at the term walk. Let's look at verse 16. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and here's an exciting promise, and ye shall what? Not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do you realize what good news that is? Let me say that again. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so we can live like Christ through his power. That's a reality. I said this somewhere in the conference, but so often Christians think that, you know, the Christian life is a difficulty and it's going to have a lot of defeats, and it's exciting when we have some victories, but, you know, we just have all kinds of problems. Well, the Christian life should be walking in victory, surprised by defeat. In other words, I can anticipate that today is going to be a tremendous day, a blessing, because I have the power of the Spirit to live Christ's life. And that confidence is a tremendous thing. If you are in the mindset, I'm just going to make a mess of today, well, you probably will make a mess of today. I'm just a defeated person. One of the things we saw last week in the conference was that wrong mindset. You know, if God's forgiven you, He's forgiven you. And He is very much wanting to deliver us and bless us and work in our lives, and we need to believe that. And so as we approach the Christian life, we've got to realize that walking not in the lusts of the flesh is our great inheritance because of Christ. I don't have to sin today. Now, I've got the sinful tendency. It's right there. But I don't have to be dominated by sin. In fact, Romans chapter 6 says sin doesn't have to have dominion over me. I'm dead to sin. In my spirit, I'm now righteous and holy. And so if I will live by the power of the Spirit, I can live continuously a life that is thinking right, acting right, living right. And it's only when I sink back into myself that I'm going to run into troubles. I tell you, ladies, that's really good news. That's really good news. I don't care what your past has been. I don't care what your character is. All of that can be transformed if you will just day by day depend upon the Lord. That's why you got to get up at a decent time. You got to meet with Him. It's not meeting with Him that's magical. It's the fact that you're starting to depend upon Him. You talk with Him. You're trusting Him. You're thinking spiritually. And if you are thinking spiritually through a day, you can have a day in which God is in control. And that should be the regular life of a believer. And then it goes on down, and this is really the theme that she has in her chapter here, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Well, those virtues are exciting. Now, let me just mention one big thing about this. The fruit of the Spirit is not the fruits of the Spirit. Now, it is plural, obviously, in what the different aspects are. But grammatically, they're all one. In other words, it's all or nothing. You can't say, well, I'm going to learn today and I'm going to be long-suffering today. But, you know, I probably won't be very joyful. That's not the way it works. I mean, if you're walking in the Spirit, you've got all of those virtues in operation in your life. You know, if I have the joy of the Lord, I know I'm going to be long-suffering at the right time if I continue to walk with God. But if I don't have a good attitude, well, I'm going to be in probably bad shape when I face something where I've got to have a long-suffering spirit. No, it's the Spirit, Him, He. He's a person. He's either in control, and He gives me the love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance of Christ, or else I don't have it. I've got my lack of love. I've got my anxiety. I've got my down spirit. I've got my short temper. I've got my lack of self-control and so forth. It's one or the other. You either walk in the flesh or you walk in the Spirit. That's why it is really dangerous to go into neutral. You just can't afford to do that because neutral is flesh. You've got to be actively in a relationship with the Lord. And so the fruit of the Spirit's a glorious thing, but it is based upon walking in the Spirit. All right. Well, she goes through the different virtues, gracious habits, as she calls them here. And so she takes a quick walking tour of the fruit of the Spirit. So let me take that tour with you. I'm not sure we'll get through all of them, but we might. In fact, I've had series just on each aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, you could spend a lot of time on this. The first one is love. And love is really the crown jewel of it all, because it speaks of the very heart of Jesus Christ. Christ sacrificed everything for us to have salvation. Just his creation of us, knowing that he would have to die for us, was enormous love. It's hard to fully comprehend. And so when we're walking in the Spirit, it means then that we're not dominated primarily by a selfish perspective. And that's very important for us to understand. The minute you see selfishness, what does that tell you? Not walking in the Spirit. And think about how much selfishness creeps up. That's our natural default position, is self. But love is real. Couldn't you put all the other aspects of the fruit of the Spirit into love, really, when you think about it? It's the rest of it's manifestations of love. When you love someone, or when you're really sacrificing for someone else, don't you have joy? You know, when you're sacrificing and you're not thinking about yourself, you have long suffering. You're gentle. I mean, it all goes together. So love, that's why it is put in this. It's put, you know, in this position as the first of the different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I like what she mentions here. Love is a decision. It is a decision of the will to put the person that you are loving ahead of yourself, and to be willing to sacrifice yourself for their welfare. Agape, which is the word that is used here, if you do a study of agape, you'll find that it was not used for love very much in the New Testament times. You know, phileo was a very high, noble affection love that would normally be thought of a good, noble affection between people. But love is a philosophical term that was warmed up in the Word of God and made to speak of Christ's divine love. But its emphasis is on choice. It's a decision of the will. So love is a decision, as she mentions, to love when you don't want to, naturally. To give of yourself when you're tired and you want to rest. Serve when you want to be served. Help others when you yourself are hurting and need somebody to help you. In other words, genuine spiritual love, get this, is not the natural reaction. Now, when you see somebody that you have a relationship with, have a need, don't you just have a natural desire to help them out, right? I mean, that's natural. You as mothers, if your child gets hurt, man, you're right there. You'll do whatever. You'll sacrifice whatever. But genuine spiritual love is when you wouldn't naturally do it. Loving an unlovable person. Getting involved in something you wouldn't naturally want to get involved with. Or let's get down to where we really live. When your husband isn't really being lovable, loving him anyway. Now we're getting to where it is. Really doing the best for your child when they're really throwing you on how they're reacting. Loving somebody that gossiped about you. You know, loving somebody that hurt you. Loving your parents when they are not at all dealing properly with you, or whatever. Fellow employee, a lot of those situations can be very, very rugged. And so love is putting someone else first when you really don't want to, but God has called you to do it. How can you love to somebody you don't know? Isn't that what soul winning is all about? You meet somebody in the store, or you come across somebody's path, you go door to door to talk to people about the Lord, and it's going to take time to do that. And then if they're saved, it's going to take time to disciple them. You don't even know them. You don't have a relationship. But the love of Christ will overwhelm you, and you will have a love that's powerful, if you yield yourself to it. That's what happens when we're yielded to the Spirit. Now, I need to back up for a moment. We talked about walking in the Spirit, but I didn't mention this, and this is key. You either have the Spirit or you don't. Now, you are indwelt with the Spirit when you're saved, but you either have the Spirit of God in control or you're in control. Your flesh is in control. And so if there's anything you're holding back consciously on God, you're not filled with the Spirit. Let me ask you this morning, did you ask the Spirit to control you? Did you yield specifically to Him? Did you talk to Him? You ought to be able to look at a moment. One of the first things I did this morning, I said, Lord, please take control of my heart and life. I need You to empower me to pray. I cannot do it without You. And I need You to be in control of my life. And I accept it by faith that You will. And Lord, show me anything that's blocking me. You know, you don't become introspective and just analyze everything, but when you know there's a bad attitude you have towards somebody, or you weren't totally honest, you got to get that right. Or there's something that you're wanting to do that God doesn't want you to do. You're not going to be filled with the Spirit if you have conscious, known things that are not in accordance with the will of God. So you either have His control or you're in control. There's no in between, flesh or spirit. So keep that in mind. It is it's something, and it really helps me, because the minute you might get a little discouraged, or the minute you get a little frustrated, or the minute something else comes to mind, you can stop and say, whoa, I'm obviously back to depending on self. I'm not going to live that way. You know, a 1 minute, 30 second stop in your life can change the course of your life by saying, Lord, take control. In fact, a little rule of thumb when you're going through a pressured day, just learn the habit of every hour and a half stopping. Take a 5 minute breather, a 3 minute breather, collect yourself and ask where you are spiritually. I'm telling you, if you follow that, you'll have great consistency through a day. And I tell you, with children at home, don't you need that? You've got to learn. Or if you're working hard or you're on projects, stop, refresh yourself for a moment, and ask yourself, where am I spiritually? So love is a wonderful thing. It's freedom from self. You can't get anxious if you're free from self. That's why serving others, being involved in other people's lives, letting the Spirit of God give you a heart for folks that even are hard for you to love, and then God overcomes. I'm telling you, there's just joy when you have that kind of a perspective. So love really is the crown jewel in many ways. It speaks of Christ, and it's very important. Then the next one, and it flows right out of this there in verse 22, is joy. Joy is not the response to good things happening to you. That's happiness. That's just positive feelings, which is nice. I like when the good things happen. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good stuff. But is today going to be perfect? There's going to be a few, excuse the colloquial expression, a few bummers, you know, a few moments that are just eh. Joy is the heart of God looking at circumstances from His perspective and having the fruit of the Spirit, in fact, the Lord Jesus says, I'll give you my joy. I've mentioned that here before. And I've had that happen so many times. When things are pretty dark, all of a sudden the joy of God, the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's just an amazing thing what happens when you yield to the Spirit in your life. So don't look for happiness to be joy. It's fine when you're happy. Those moments are refreshing. But joy is when you are loving God, putting Him first, and you're loving other people, and you're allowing your life to be freed from self, it's automatic you have joy. The two go hand in hand. So if you don't have joy, what does that tell you? Not filled with the Spirit. Now, you might be discouraged, rightly so. Something bad may, you know, all of a sudden you realize, oh no, I got a bill I can't handle. Yeah, that can crush you a little bit. You know, if something comes up or a health issue comes up, doctor tells you you got to do something, sure, that's overwhelming. Sure, aren't going to be happy at that moment, but the joy of the Lord can be your strength. That's the beauty of it. Where, in fact, joy is most precious when it's not the natural response. Did you know that you can have joy when you wake up in the morning? Isn't that a great thing? And get going and have the joy of the Lord, even if you're tired. And it's a good, listen, it's if you want a great gauge as to where you are spiritually, joy is a good gauge. You know, sometimes we don't know if it's love or not, but we sure know joy versus lack of joy, don't we? That one's pretty obvious. And so if you're getting down and you really are, and you know, everything's hopeless and where is God, and or you're so frustrated or so angry you can't see straight, well, obviously you're not filled with the Spirit at that point. And you need to stop and say, Lord, I need my joy back, because that means that I've got you back. And did you know it's very healthy to live with joy? It's very healthy to go through the day with the joy of the Lord in your heart. And you know, as believers, we don't need to dread certain days. We don't need to live with that kind of an attitude, I got to get through today. No, this is going to be a good day. Maybe a tough one, but this is going to be a good one, because this is the Lord's day, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And you can make the decision to let God work. This is not a pep talk. I believe this with all of my heart, that you can decide to have just the Spirit of God to be in control. And again, it's that 30-second stop. Think, I'm not responding right, but I've got Him in me, and I've got His joy. I can't figure this out right now. You may have tears coming down your face, but Lord, I believe You're real, and I choose to trust You, and I choose to allow You to control me. Would You restore my joy? And He will. He will. If you learn to live consistently with joy, you will not dread anything in life. And quality of life changes dramatically. You really can know that today, you know, it looks like it's going to be a hard day. I may have to face something that is very difficult. But Lord, You're with me, and I'm okay, and I can just have that sweet spiritual joy, even though my humanity is hurting a little bit, I can have the joy of the Lord. Do you believe that? Now you need to believe that. That's very, very important. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And if you don't have joy, you don't have love, then you are definitely bound up by self. Well, the next one is peace. And by the way, as she mentions, and I appreciate her emphasis, I didn't emphasize it a lot here, but praise comes out of joy. You know, when good things happen and you acknowledge that it was from the Lord, it's real easy to praise the Lord. But if you've got the joy of the Lord, you can praise the Lord for a tough situation. Lord, this is disappointing, but I know You have something good for me here. I know You're teaching me something, and I'm so glad I've got You. There's nothing. All things work together for good. I am in a great position. So praise is the evidence that you have joy. You choose to focus on Him, not on them or you, as she says here in this chapter. And then peace is a sacrifice of trust. You make the sacrifice of trust when you face pain and stress in your life and choose to trust God instead of panicking or falling apart. Now, two things here. Number one, when something hits us that easily could take away our peace, you need to stop before you go into the full emotions of it and stop and say, Lord, I need Your peace. I'm just trusting you right now. I choose to trust you. Secondly, some Christians just are waiting for the next thing to come down the pike, and they just constantly have fear. Man, listen, you have enough grace for what's happening right now. You don't have enough grace to worry about something that might happen in the future. You say, well, someday I may get a bad sickness. Well, someday you will. I mean, we aren't going to live forever, so just don't worry about it, you know. And let me tell you, if you get an illness, many times God does a mighty work and the great things that he does in your life, and he often delivers, you know, God can heal. We're in good shape. We don't need to fear that. Don't fear bad things. Be an optimist spiritually. The love believeth all things. So, you know, don't let yourself get in that fearful perspective. But the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, great verse. And that comes after the verse, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God. Just talk to God about it. You know, sometimes your best prayer can be, Lord, help. I feel at the moment I'm going to drown. I wasn't expecting this. Before you go headlong into your emotions, say, well, you know, I believe I'm indwelt by the Spirit. And I'm, as best I know, I'm yielding myself to you, which means, Lord, I should have love, joy, peace. I should have this, and so I'm claiming that. And, you know, it's amazing that calming effect, even though your body may be really, whoa, 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 that strength in your soul is just priceless that God will give to you. And so we can experience the peace of God. If you're living with constant anxiety, are you filled with the Spirit? No. Another really good sign, problems. Now, I know there are physiological things that can happen for depression. But if it's not a physiological situation and you allow yourself to get depressed, that was a choice. And so anxiety, which will lead to depression, is not the Spirit of God. Because the joy and peace of God and the love of God will counteract your anxiety and will give you a foundation by which you do not slip into that dark hole. And you have to make the choice to look to God and not... I tell you, it's very important you don't get in the habit of escaping into depression. That's another whole lecture, but just wanted to say that. All right. Well, lots of good stuff to discuss from this chapter. I told you I wouldn't get through it, so we'll finish up Fruit of the Spirit next time. And I trust this will be a help to you. So my admonition... Right now, these things aren't characteristic of your life. They can be. You say, well, you know, I got something probably not right in my life. Well, get it right now. Isn't that wonderful? If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is ever near. He's ready to answer. He is ready to work. And by the way, when you do something wrong, you don't have to go through spiritual purgatory for God to accept you. Now, you may spend time grieving about it, but that's fine. That may be good, but you can have freedom and you can have the joy of the Lord right now if you choose to have it. So.